Negotiation Tips. This is Brock.
And this is John.
So building off the podcast, laying out the basics of negotiation, let's drill down. How can one understand what's important when doing diligence and what's not? How do you get that journalist eye and be able to spot issues?
Well, I think you've got to, the most important thing is to talk to your client and understand the business deal that they want to strike. Make sure that you also understand the terms of the agreement that you're negotiating and the legal consequences of any position that you're taking or asking the other side to take. If the business and legal downsides don't add up to too much, then that issue probably isn't really important. But when you make an assessment of the importance of a particular issue in a deal, it's not always an economic one. It's not always a dollar and cents. It depends on your client. For example, how employees are treated post-closing, social issues relating to benefits and compensation and job losses. They may not be a huge issue economically from a seller's standpoint in terms of maximizing its value, but they could be critical if you're dealing with a seller that has had business in the family for generations and grew up working with many of the employees and is now making a very difficult personal decision to sell the company. They feel an awful lot of obligation to the folks who are behind and the communities that are behind in many cases. It's not necessarily all bottom line issues that are important. There can be some other ones out there that you have to keep in mind as you prepare to negotiate.
And how much discussion is there with the client, the business people, about negotiation tactics? Should there be brainstorming of alternatives, or does the lawyer really just take the ball and run with it?
Well, I think it makes an awful lot of sense to sit down with your client in advance as much as you can, and as you talk through the business rationale for the deal, you get an understanding for the client's bottom line, and it's also a great way of focusing the client on the process of negotiating a deal, especially if they don't have a lot of deal experience. If you've been brought in to represent somebody who's selling a company and they have very limited M&A experience, you're going to want to sit down and not only understand what their bottom line issues are, but walk them through the various alternatives as to this is what we can ask for, this is what they might come back with, this is how many companies and many transactions resolve this particular issue. That's very good for the process. It helps educate the seller, and I think it also is very helpful for you because, particularly if you're new to the engagement, it helps them build confidence in you as an advisor, because as they watch events play out and realize, that lawyer told me that something like this would happen, and son of a gun, he or she was right on the money. So it's very helpful from that perspective as well.
And I actually was at a meeting yesterday where there wasn't a consistent negotiating strategy. How important is it to have a consistent and overall arching theme to the strategy so that when you're breaking down specific arguments, you're not straying from your overall goal? Is that important?
Well, and I think you probably found out at that meeting yesterday, they can be very chaotic when things break down like that. You start into this sort of one-off back and forth where nobody really has an idea of where things fit in the big picture. The bottom line is, I think without a consistent negotiating strategy, it's very easy to get carried away with deal momentum. The deals are all consuming. People invest a lot of time. They invest a lot of psychic energy in doing a deal and working on a deal. And everybody wants to get to an agreement. It's not for nothing that they talk about the winner's curse in auctions. There's a strong psychological desire to succeed and to get a deal, especially in competitive situations. And if you don't have an understanding of what's critical to your business interests and adhere to a strategy that's designed to consistently reflect those interests, you can find yourself getting swept up in the deal's undertow and making concessions and giving away economic points that ultimately make the deal tougher to justify, and maybe to a point where it doesn't make an awful lot of sense. And I will tell you that to underline how hard this is, remember, there are a lot of studies out there that say most of the time, most M&A transactions are a bonanza for the seller, and they don't work out so well for the buying company. People tend to underestimate a lot of the difficulties and overestimate their ability to execute things after the deal is done. So understand your bottom line and have a consistent negotiating strategy, or you risk ending up in the same boat with most people who do deals.
Is there really such a thing as good cop, bad cop in
I mean, sometimes I think sometimes you see people that have a style where somebody's going to be blustering and all that. I think that's usually unproductive if you're talking about it in the classic sense. It's pretty transparent, and you can sometimes trip over yourself, and you end up with, people on the other side of the deal making jokes about the person who's constantly blustering. Or a lot of deals we've sat down and had our favorite imitation of the blustery investment banker on the other side, and that's always good for a laugh or two. But I don't think that moves the ball forward. You know, the classic sense is just a little bit silly and heavy-handed. But I think there is a variation on that that's extremely effective, and I think it really is. Look, you tee up your negotiations where the lawyers and the bankers are the bad guys, and they go through the documentation and fight the fights over the technical issues and that type of thing. And you know, you have the more junior folks at the company there as well. But keep the senior people, and especially the CEO, in reserve to intervene to resolve the thorny issues that need to get addressed at the end of the negotiations. These folks are in a good position to show magnanimity and also to convey a very clear message of what the bottom line is. Now, before you unleash somebody like that, you want to make sure that they're prepared carefully so they understand the bidding and they understand the range of outcomes that would fit within the negotiating strategy. So you may ultimately turn your business folks loose and have a one-on-one from CEO to CEO type of conversation, but it's one I think that both CEOs are going to be extremely prepared for by their professional advisors.
And it's possible you'll have someone either that's a lawyer that's on the team, or maybe it's someone at the client who's just naturally tends to be an asshole, and that could be difficult because that can work against you. Because
we all have
that copy. That just happens to be their personality.
Well, actually, that's a good. I will tell you that I look back at my early days of being a corporate lawyer and I cringe because I was just the most unreasonable jerk. And you know why? Because I wasn't really experienced, and I figured that I've got to win every issue, and I've got to show what a tough guy I am. And a lot of time, where you've got somebody that's really difficult, that may be what's going on. That you maybe don't have that person who's all that experienced in the transaction. I mean, there's tough negotiations, and there's just being an unreasonable jerk. And a lot of times, it's the less experienced folks that fall into that latter category.
Yeah, I remember at a time, and often this happens in the wee hours of the night, so you've already been negotiating for quite a while, and this was up in New York City, and there was a younger guy, and I was young too, but I definitely wanted to tackle him and then push him out of a window.
That's not recommended.
I'm sure those windows are unable to be broken. How can you help get people unstuck? So let's say you have a jerk. And maybe they're doing it on purpose, or maybe that's just them, or maybe they're not a jerk, just for some reason they're stuck on a point. Maybe it's because it's 3 a.m.
And we're assuming here that the windows don't open, so you can't throw them out the window?
Exactly.
Okay. Well, I think there are a lot of ways to do it, and I'll say that none of them which work all the time. I mean, you can put the issue aside and work to resolve other issues where you can show good faith and a willingness to compromise and indicate that you're taking reasonable positions. You can talk to the other side and get some insight into their bottom line. You know, I actually read one of the negotiation. We have a very good negotiating handbook on deal lawyers. It's essentially a transcript of a webcast that was done several years ago, and somebody made a very good point, which is, you know, the thing about Americans is if you ask direct questions, very often you'll get a direct answer. Take a chance. Look at the other person and say, what's your bottom line? Why does this issue matter so much to you? And you may get posturing. They may be very sophisticated and savvy and think that's the right thing to do. But sometimes if you ask a direct question, you'll get a direct answer. And they'll say, this is exactly why I deal with that. And perhaps, if you have that kind of a dialogue, you can propose alternatives that might address what their concerns are. I'll tell you what else helps sometimes is just private conversations between professionals. positions can harden when somebody may get embarrassed because they've gone out on a limb with advice they've given, and you need to find a way to allow them to climb back down with dignity and not look bad in front of their clients. So occasionally those kind of conversations can help move the ball. Offering up a package of mutual concessions. We can do X, Y, and Z, or we can do A, B, C, and those will all work for us. Will they work for you? Type of a thing. So there are a lot of ways to get unstuck. Sometimes you don't get unstuck. A lot of deals die in negotiations. But the one rule about dying deals is, as one of my colleagues told me when I was a young associate, there is an iron rule of deal making, which is that no deal will ever die until you have put in so much work and spilled so much blood that you're desperate for it to live and close. So that's one of the sad truths of deal making.
And sometimes it's nice just to take a break, and that can help people get unstuck. You bring in a TV and everyone watches an episode of Seinfeld together. I mean, you wouldn't do that, but just let's take a half hour break. Let's get some food.
Yeah.
And then perhaps the client will talk to their, the client on the other side will talk to their lawyer, or just that person will call home, or for whatever reason, just the time away from the negotiations will get people back down from the red level.
And also depending on where you are in the deal, this may be the time. I mean, if these are really the last major issues on the deal, this may be the time to bring in the big guns, to bring in the CEO and say, hey, it may make sense for you to reach out to your counterpart and see if we can't get this resolved on an acceptable basis.
Great stuff. Thanks.
You're welcome.